doing well, Teddy. How are you?
Good. I'm really good. How was the 4th of July, Manny? We didn't get a chance to touch base. Hola, cala, pera se sorea.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, whatever the weather allowed, you know. Yeah. I mean, we got soaked for, you know, 3 or 4 days, but we finally got to see some sun yesterday, which was refreshing. But overall, it was pretty good, you know, barbecues and hanging out. Nothing too exciting because, you know, we had a damper of a weekend.
Yeah, we certainly did. But and of course, as you know, Stamati's away in Greece, and we'll be hooking up with Stamati a little bit later on, but he's got a lot of activities going on, so it's you and I this morning. So I'm going to defer to you, Manny. Basically, I'll run through the week. I know that the market has been continuing to show some nice, you know, forward steps. People are on that side of things going on, and, you know, we were talking to Petr a little earlier, still some things going on. COVID continues as well, so what's your take on the week?
It's been the same as we've spoken about. I mean, we're still in this summer lull, which is exactly what we expected to see. Volatility has remained suppressed. Volatility is pretty much at all-time low levels. You made new highs in the indices yesterday with or last week with the S&P 500 touching on to 4,300 price tag. And you've got the, you know, the NASDAQ leading the way this morning with, you know, some of the technology companies up more than the value plays. And it seems like you're almost getting a deflationary tone. One thing of note, which is interesting, is that you had the dollar strengthen this morning, but then you had the yield on the treasuries collapse. So bond prices went up, yields went down. That's a very deflationary environment. But it's surprising that the dollar isn't following that path. Usually the dollar will follow the strength of the yield curve. So if yields go down, the dollar should decline. It's not happening this morning. So it's interesting to see what takes place. Again, now it's the first real opening of business with the new quarter. So you do have some things shaking about. You will see some people, you know, flow through into different positions. So you should see some increases in stock prices, as I would imagine you're probably going to get somewhere around $500 billion flowing into global equity markets and being pulled away from treasuries and bonds. Just due to the low interest rate environment. So we're in pretty stable footing. There's not a lot of macroeconomic data out there right now. You know, jobless claims went down last week, which was bullish, but we still remain a very high unemployment rate. Probably the next thing that people should be considering that could shake up the markets is the Jackson Hole Symposium in August. So that is the annual, you know, U.S. Federal Reserve think tank. Where you have the top economic minds, not just here, but from around the world, and other policymakers from central banks gather and talk about monetary and fiscal policy and what the next couple of years look like and where interest rates potentially go and what their thoughts on inflation will be, whether they still remain in the transitory camp or otherwise. So, but again, not a whole lot. We're still holding on to that belief that you could have checked out in May and checked back in October and things would have been just fine. But you do need to check back in October because I think that the end of the year, as we've said before, could get a little hairy.
Yeah. Manny, can you talk a little bit about the dollar, its strength, the euro? Every day and I know it's been dropping a little bit. It was in, you know, 122, 123, and I think today Nicoletta read off it's like 118, 119. Especially with all the stimulus money, to me that says that the dollar is still stronger than the euro, and that's why it's...
the euro is stronger than the dollar.
Well, it is, but we're gaining traction on it if the...
We are, and I think that when you look at the euro, and I put this out there multiple times, you want to buy the euro below 118, and you want to sell it around 122, 123, and I think we're range-bound, at least for the short term.
Yeah.
What I think actually occurs long-term is that I think the dollar is still in a cyclical decline.
You do.
And I think we've only maybe slid a third of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that over the next, if I look at the next 5 to 10 years, I'm expecting massive dollar weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's across the board. I mean, every central bank is pumping money into the system. Now, some of them are getting ahead of the curve. Think Brazil. Think New Zealand. You know, central banks that are a little bit more hawkish than dovish. Now, our camp is on the very dovish side of things, which continues my belief that the dollar is in a secular decline, that given where we are with our deficits and where we expect interest rates to go and to be honest, subpar growth. We expect that following the quarters of COVID, where, you know, it's the broken glass theory, right? If you don't equate what a broken window cost you and the negative ramifications of it, but just look at the buildup of the new supply and the new window, it's going to be a plus economically speaking. Mm-hmm. The same thing when you look at COVID. When you start at fractured levels, you're going to have higher growth rates over the coming quarters. But what we expect to occur is that once we get out of COVID, we're probably going to go back to a subpar growth rate somewhere around 2% or less. Mm-hmm. So because of these things, the dollar is going to continue to decline, in my opinion, over the next 10 years.
Manny, I was thinking of you the other day because you brought to the attention of our listening audience, you know, 6 months ago about, you know, the fuel. And we're hearing that the gas prices are the highest they've been in 7 years. And you were saying that, mm-hmm. you know, it was going to be, you know, a pretty good take back then. How do you see that continuing forward?
The interesting thing is last week with OPEC. So you had OPEC meet last week because you have Russia and some other producers crying to bring on more supply.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the UAE standing foot and saying, hey, we're going to do this, but this isn't very fair. Arguably right now you have people discussing, could this be the end of OPEC? And could you go back to the price wars you saw 2 years ago? That would be very formidable to the market. I mean, having oil at $76 a barrel is essentially a tax on the economy and on consumers.
Mm-hmm.
You want oil prices to remain low so businesses can be more profitable and consumers can have more consumer spending that isn't going to energy needs.
Mm-hmm.
So my opinion, this could be peak oil in some capacity, but I'm also not ruling out $100 a barrel oil depending on what they do with supply. What we know to be true is the world is awash with oil, but if we're only going to put 3 million barrels a day onto the market, then it's going to look like supply is constrained. But there is plenty of oil in this world. It's now just about price. You have the Saudis, UAE, and everybody else that want higher prices mm-hmm. due to the GDP effect of these producers.
Yeah. Manny, what's been going on in the hospitality world? The Hiltons, the Avises, the airlines, how are they? Are they rebounding? Is that, are they, you know, they treading
through,
water? What
know,
are they doing still?
No, they, ever since March of yeah. last year, everything has skyrocketed.
Yep.
Just due to the liquidity being pumped in the market and due to the theory of recovery and the opportunity to make money off distressed asset prices.
Mm-hmm.
That has drastically changed to where we are today. I mean, these airlines are essentially priced at where they were before COVID even existed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and on top of that, you just you nailed the nail on the head when you brought up oil and gasoline prices. So now these companies, oil in particular, airline companies, are struggling to get their customers back,
mm-hmm.
to reengage with international travel. Yet on top of these corporate struggles that they're facing, you're now taxing them with higher oil prices. So not only did their costs substantially go up from pre-COVID, but also their sales have declined since COVID. So it's been a recovery play, but it's not a sector that I am extremely bullish on.
Yeah.
Frankly, hospitality and the travel and leisure industry, I think, needs to show something before anyone can get truly excited.
I think that's about a year away, to be honest with you. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, I know. And don't forget, it's all about variants.
Yep.
So you've got the Delta variant that's causing a problem right now. You have a new variant coming up that's called the Omega variant that could be more dangerous than the Delta variant. You have Pfizer down this morning due to reports in Israel last week that the Pfizer drug wasn't as combative to the Delta variant as they believed.
Oh, boy.
So Pfizer was down about 1% this morning, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have these struggling issues, and the biggest problem is that don't look at it from a developed world perspective where we have ample vaccines, and any citizen that actually wants a vaccine in the United States can very easily get it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is what happens with the MSCI companies, with your emerging market companies, because, again, if this is a global economy, it's got to be a global recovery. It can't just rely on the U.S. and Europe or just developed Asia. So all these things will slow down travel and leisure until the full world gets vaccinated and fully recovers.
Well, our neighbors up north and, of course, across the pond, I mean, even you know, the UK as well as Canada still haven't, they're nowhere near where we are here. So
that's right.
You know, that's, and they're just.
But I don't think that the U.S. has fears of variants. I mean, you have some parts of the country like Springfield, Missouri, I was reading about, that has a very high elderly population but a very low vaccine rate.
Mm-hmm.
Places like that could see some issues with variants. But it's my belief that here in the United States, domestically speaking, that for the most part, COVID is completely in the rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly seems to be when you go out, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
For sure. I mean, that's the pent-up demand side of things and people, you know, finally saying enough is enough.
Yeah. All right, we'll close out with, you know, best news of the last couple of days of the week. What do we got?
Best news of the last couple of days, I think it's got to be, you know, that we've hit this theory on the summer lull that, you know, 401ks are up, that people are feeling confident,
yep.
that people are out there spending. We had a historic number of people on the road for 4th of July. I know that we tend to hear that from AAA and other organizations around holiday seasons, but a lot of people were out on the road. A lot of people were traveling across state lines and getting together. And I think that is a welcome sign given the fact that the 4th of July didn't happen last year.
Yeah. I agree with you. Fireworks all over the place, all over the
place.
Exactly. It was nice. Red, white, and blue. God bless America.
And it seems, and on top of that, it seems like Europe is doing better.
Yeah.
That Europe is finally catching up, and that is a major concern for us because if Europe isn't able to have the summer that they should have, that could cause political tensions in the European Union come this fall and potentially could open the door to some unwelcomed political results. So I think that is a very important thing that needs to be on front of people's minds, but it seems like they're moving in the correct direction.
Yeah, I'll just share some of Petro's program today. Told us that only 30% of the Greeks are vaccinated. I didn't know it was that
yeah.
low. That's it. It's a low percentage.
Very low.
Very low. Very low. Very
and
low.
When you look at it, you know, and to, again, draw it to our comparisons where you have, just speaking for the state of Massachusetts, where close to 75% of our population has already been vaccinated.
Yep.
Just
yeah.
in this state.
Yeah, yeah. All good. Manny, as always, a great job. 12 Points Wealth Management. Manny Frangidakis joins us each and every Tuesday at 11 o'clock with a little bit of a market update, and we'll do this all over again next Tuesday. Closing comments for our listening audience, Manny?
We've hit this before. I think gold is a great opportunity up there. It's up about $30 this morning, which is a welcome sign after getting kind of beaten down over the last coming weeks. I think that when you look at the technical charts of gold and silver, they're looking like they're getting ready to seriously pop. So something that people could be keep on their radar, especially if you're contemplating the crypto versus gold debate or ways to play inflation or a way to just protect capital. I think it's a bucket that checks off all of those.
There you go, gold. Chrisot. With the Olympics, mm-hmm. with the Olympics starting in 2 weeks, how appropriate.
Yeah, exactly.
How appropriate.
Exactly.
Manny, have a terrific day.
Although it's a negative that Japan is pulling back, so they're having no fans in their welcoming ceremony.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little bit of a different Olympics. I hope that they get the, you know, the money that they thought they were going to get a few years ago when they were originally labeled. And the fact that they missed it last year.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting with no fans, you know, the whole thing. But, you know, it's the Olympic experience, I think. The television coverage, I'm sure, is going to be ample. And, you know, looking forward to a little diversion, I guess, for the summer.
Yeah, exactly.
At the very best. Manny, thank you so much. Have a terrific, terrific day. And we'll regroup again next week. Have a good day.
Yes.
Bye-bye. Manny Frangidakis.
Bye-bye.